All right, we are back here on Talking Baseball, Giants and the Guardians coming up on Saturday afternoon here on KMBR. Chatting with our friend now alongside Bill Lasky and Marty Lurie. My name is Kerry Crowley. Our friend Dom Catronio joins the show. You heard him throughout last season, and he is back with us this year. Dom, how are you, my friend?
It's great to hear you, Kerry. It's great to have baseball back, so I'm doing better than ever.
Oh, it's so fun to have you on this show. And last year we had you talking a lot about the Milwaukee Brewers, the NL Central. This year we're going to bring you in for a national perspective, national statistician for TBS, a lot of national broadcasts. You're traveling around the country. Got a great perspective as always. And hey, so many different things I want to cover on this show. But the very first, since we're talking Giants and the Guardians today here on The Leader, how about Stephen Kwan? We're both from the Bay Area, or we both spent some time in the Bay Area. Your dad's play-by-play broadcaster for the Oakland A's. Stephen Kwan, Bay Area guy, off to a tremendous start right now with the Cleveland Guardians, and not necessarily a Bobby Witt or Spencer Torkelson caliber prospect, but this kid's having a great start to the year.
I mean, he was still a top 100 prospect heading into this season. It's just that the guys, like you mentioned, the Witts, the Julio Rodriguez, the Torkelsons, were stealing the headlines as being the top five guys actually making their big league roster. Stephen Kwan is just as great of a story, and this is the exact same guy we saw at Oregon State. Puts the bat on the ball and puts pressure on the defense, puts pressure on the pitcher to say, hey, I know my strike zone. I dare you to throw it in the strike zone because you know I'm going to make contact. But, I mean, the streak was amazing as far as not swinging and missing goes, but the fact is he's still controlling the zone well. His BABIP is over 500. He's a guy that is just going to continue to get hit. Now, the slugging is obviously a lot left to be desired, but that's not the type of player he needs to be. He's the type of guy that's going to get on base and set the table for the Jose Ramirez's in this Guardians lineup that you guys are going to see today.
Yeah, it's going to be really interesting to see how Stephen Kwan's game evolved. Didn't show much power at Oregon State, and I am glad that you mentioned that. Oregon State product, Pac-12 guy. But he did last year in the Guardian system, hit 12 home runs, and so we fascinating to see how he performs this weekend against the San Francisco Giants when he comes back to the Bay Area against the Oakland A's. And hey, Dom, speaking of the A's, I know you spent some time with them during spring training. What a week they had against the Tampa Bay Rays, taking 3 of 4. I know that things didn't start well against the Philadelphia Phillies, but of all the good stories so far in baseball, maybe the A's are a little bit of a surprise here.
Well, they're going to have a really tough task this weekend up north of the border with the Toronto Blue Jays. But man, what a weekend. You're right, in Tampa. It's always tough to play your first 10 games on the road and to do it in the fashion that they're doing it against three teams that look like they are legitimate playoff contenders. And the Phillies are the ones that are on the fringe. Obviously, the Rays and the Blue Jays are certainly in the thick of it in the AL East. But what the A's did is prove what they do time and time again. When the outside sees, oh, they don't have a path, they're just tearing it down, they don't know what they're doing, turns into, oh, they always find a way to make it look better than what you would, they're always better than the sum of their parts put together, mm-hmm. Right? It's Christian Pache really has a chance to become a star because he finally has a chance to play every day, not have to wait. He can make mistakes. He can learn how to be a big leaguer finally, too. And the fact is, he had a terrible first month of the season in 2021 with the Braves. There was a lot of pressure on him to perform. We all know what he can do with the glove. But as far as offensively performing now for the Oakland A's, he's going to get every opportunity possible to play center field. And it's kind of the best thing in the world for the A's, the fact that Ramon Laureano, of course, having to miss the first 27 of the seven games of the season due to his suspension, to have a guy like Pache knowing, hey, center field is yours, and even when Ramon comes back, Ramon will probably slide into right field and move Stephen Piscotty to left field. I mean, there's a lot of arrangement to make sure that Pache is still going to be playing center field. He's been a huge piece of this. I can't wait to see what he can become.
Yeah, it's really fun to see these young stars emerging on the scene. Pache could be an American League Rookie of the Year candidate if things go well for the Oakland A's, and there's so many different players we'll talk about in that vein this season, Dom. But how about Seiya Suzuki, a guy who I know you saw during the first week of the regular season when the Brewers were playing at Wrigley Field against the Chicago Cubs? I mean, he has to be considered, largely because of his experience overseas, he has to be considered far and away the front runner for the NL Rookie of the Year award, and he has not disappointed at all so far with the Chicago Cubs.
Exactly. I mean, 3 home runs already for him. He had 2 the other day against Pittsburgh. What impressed me most from Seiya Suzuki in the opening weekend, I got to see him against the Brewers down at Wrigley, is the fact that he controls the strike zone very well. I know we think of him as a rookie. He is 27 years old, coming from Japan, playing so many years with Hiroshima. But he controls the zone so well. You hear about Japanese power hitters, and you instantly think of a guy who's going to be swinging for the fences and loud contact, things like that. No, he's a guy that understands how pitchers are going to attack him. I mean, you look at his power numbers last year, the last couple of years in Hiroshima. Yes, they're impressive, especially for the Japanese league, but he also is drawing walks, and he's continued that so far here in the States. So if that continues for him, you throw that in to be a legitimate power threat in the middle of this Cubs order. Wilson Contreras is still a power threat. I don't care what anybody says about him as a catcher. He is still a power threat. And if Ian Happ continues to do what he did, picking up where he left off last year, the Cubs are going to be a lot better than people are giving them credit for. And seeing it firsthand here as I'm facing the NL Central, but man, seeing it firsthand, C.S. Suzuki is really, as advertised, a phenomenal talent.
Yeah, no question about it. I know there's a lot of Giants fans who were pining to see Suzuki in this Giants lineup. They lost Buster Posey. They lost Chris Bryant. They needed another right-handed bat, but he goes to the Chicago Cubs, gets paid, and deservedly so thus far. I know it's still early, but so many fun storylines to talk about. We'll do so throughout the season on Talking Baseball with Dom Catronio, national analyst for us this year, national statistician on TBS broadcasts. And Dom, I want to ask you about some of your sleeper teams this year. Let's talk big picture about what could unfold over the course of 162-game season. Heard Marty say it already on today's show. It's the mosaic. Who are you looking for as kind of breakout teams? Maybe give me one in the National League, one in the American League.
Well, I'll start in the National League, and it's not really fair to call them a breakout team, and I just mentioned them, the Chicago Cubs. Look, yeah. I know it's the Cubs, and people are talking about, oh, they tore it all down. They're saving money. What are the Ricketts doing? Things like that, but it's still the Cubs, and they are very, very – you know, they're big believers, I should say, of what they have offensively. They believe they have enough offensively, and they could still add more coming up at the deadline because, let's be honest, if the Brewers' pitching isn't what it was last year, as we've seen so far in this first week of the year, this division is open because the Brewers rely 100% on their pitching. And the Cubs, of course, being in the division, get a chance to play them. So I look to see what the Cubs can do. They will definitely need bullpen help moving forward. But I think their starting rotation is solid enough. They've got three legitimate big league starters, and I think they can really make some noise. As far as the American League, in our preview show, we were talking about it here in Milwaukee, is the fact that the Detroit Tigers deserve a little more respect because they get off to a terrible start last year, right? And A.J. Hinch, and you can say what you want about the Astros, sign-stealing scandal. I'm a huge fan of A.J. Hinch personally. And what he did to that team, I mean, they were above 500 team the last 3 months of the season last year. They were a thorn in everybody's side. They got better, undoubtedly, by adding Javier Baez. Yes, he swings and misses a lot still, but don't forget about Riley Green, who's still coming in the pipeline, too. He probably would have made this roster as well with Spencer Torkelson if he didn't break his foot during spring training. So Riley Green, who I've heard from folks inside of their organization, is just as good of a hitter as Spencer Torkelson, if not better. So it's don't forget about that guy when he comes back. I am really, really fascinated by the AL Central this year because we all know what the White Sox are supposed to do. You're going to see the Guardians today, and Jose Ramirez is probably the best player in baseball right now as far as the start that he's gotten off to, the consistency he delivers on every given night. Detroit got better. Kansas City has all these young guns. And Minnesota arguably won the offseason as far as adding acquisitions. So the AL Central to me is going to be fascinating, and I love the Tigers in that division.
Now, I'm right there with you. I'm a huge guy on the Tigers this year. I think Casey Mize will have his breakout year. You and I both know Spencer Torkelson. We were at Arizona State when he delivered his exploits in the Pac-12, rewriting the record books. Just tremendous stuff. So happy to see him hit his first big league home run this week. And so a lot of exciting things happening in the American League Central. Hey, Dom, before we let you go, let's talk big picture about some of the players you expect for breakout candidates across the major leagues this season. Maybe a few in the National League, a few in the American League.
Well, I want to remind folks that even though Freddie Freeman is doing great stuff down in Los Angeles, look, the guy that he was replaced by in Atlanta is off to an incredible start. Of course, KNBR fans know him from across the bay is Matt Olson. it feels like Matt Olson is just doing Matt Olson things. We talk about, oh, Freddie's going back to L.A., he's going back to California, all this stuff. Matt Olson is from Georgia. Not only that, he was taught by Jeff Francoeur's mom in seventh grade, told Francoeur's mom, hey, I'm going to be a big leaguer one day. And she goes, yeah, sure, kid. Now he's playing everyday first base for the defending world champion Atlanta Braves. Matt Olson deserves a lot more respect. It's not fair to call him a breakout player, but now that he's playing in the Eastern time zone, you and I both know this, there is certainly an added flair to that, the fact that more people are going to be able to see him on every given night. Defensively, he's still going to be putting on a show. Matt Olson in the National League, for me, I just can't wait to see what he can continue to provide. And I want to go with a fun direction here on the American League side. And Kike Hernandez finally got his first hit over the weekend. But I think folks are starting to realize how important of a player Kike Hernandez is to these Red Sox playing center field. And with Trevor Story missing the last few days with food poisoning, he can play second base in a pinch if needed. Look, Kike Hernandez on the Red Sox is going to be really starting to turn it on. They've got marathon weekend coming up. It's going to be a lot of fun in Boston. I know you know that weekend well, Kerry. So I'm really looking forward to see what Kike can do with the Red Sox.
He's one of the game's great personalities, and maybe a little easier for Giants fans to root for now that he's not wearing a Dodger uniform and tormenting Madison Bumgarner. I think he hit maybe 540 at-bats against Bumgarner back when Kike was on the Dodgers and Bum was in a Giants uniform. But he is Dom Catronio, national analyst, national statistician for TBS. And, Dom, thank you so much for joining the show. We will definitely do it again later on this season. But loved having you last year. Really looking forward to having you on more this year.
It was an honor. Thanks for having me, Kerry.
All right, more coming up next here on Talkin' Baseball. Marty, Bill, and Kerry, you're listening to KMBR 104.5, 680, the sports leader.